there's a fundamental machlokes, Rashi, Ramban versus Tosis, and what are the mechanics of the din of bittul? Bittul b'alma sugi. So Rashi and Ramban learned that bittul is tashbiso. That's how you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbiso. And Tosis says, no. Bittul is a way to avoid the problem of tashbiso. By bittul, it's like you're making it hefker. You're making it hefker, so therefore there's no need to do tashbiso. You don't own anything. So the Ramban has a couple of kashas on Tosis. Tosis says bittul is mitam hefker. So the Ramban has a couple of shayos. It says the Gemara in the Darim, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, he quotes Rav Yossi, hefker kematana, that any item which is subject to hefker, it remains with the owner until it is acquired by someone else. And hefker alone isn't enough to circumvent the need in order for it to be destroyed, since it's going to remain with the Jewish owner, so it's still a problem. So hefker by itself wouldn't work. The Ramban also says there's some halachic distinction. Hefker requires a beis din. You need to do it in front of three people. Bittul could be done on an individual basis. Hefker cannot be performed on Shabbos, like there will be a problem this year, or Pesach, and bittul can be performed on Shabbos. And hefker requires piv, verbal declaration, while bittul can be accomplished through thoughts alone. So they have four, hence that's why those are the three kashas of the Ramban. That's why he rejects Rashi, that you need a beis din. It can't be done on Shabbos, and you need to a verbal declaration. So, what would Tosis answer? So, regarding the first opinion of Yeshua ben Levi, that Minatora, you can do Hefker alone. The din of a beis din is only midrabanan. And as the Mordechai points out and others, that even though generally maybe Hefker would be a issur d'rabbanan, but to avoid a prohibition, we'll waive the prohibition. Like we find the Mordechai be'erev tavshilin, you could give the person the food even though we don't have kinyanim. So one shot is that it's only midrabbanan, we could waive it. The Meiri says that even though saying it verbally is usually the norm for hefker, but chomet is different. Because of the severity of its prohibition, that we equated mere thought with action. So therefore, that's why in this case, even though normally you need dibor by hefker, but we'll let you get away without doing it this year. And the other taina, what about doing it on Shabbos? Because you can't do kinyanim. So the Meiri writes that hefker is mutter on Shabbos. The reason why they said you can't be makdish items because it's like kamecha kamemker. But hefker is differently. You're not selling or giving an object. You're relinquishing its ownership. Give of the passive nature of hefker, the Meiri says hefker should be mutter. And as well, that's what Rav Menachem Zember in the Zera Avram elaborates on the Meiri and says there are two different forms of hefker. When there's one form of hefker to actively confer the object to the rest of the world, well, another form of hefker means to relinquish one's connection to the object. So the first type is a problem. That's more like a commercial transaction. But the latter type is purely passive, and you can do it on Shabbos. And in fact, we have the Russian brachas, that whole Gemara and brachas, Mem Zayin and Beis, where we had to free the slave. So that's the whole discussion. Could have happened on Shabbos, and you got to free a slave. So that's part of the discussion. Machlokes Rishonim, whether you're allowed to do hefker on Shabbos. So we see that it's not a problem. Even if bittul works mitam hefker, this is Rabbi Elazar was able to free the slave on Shabbos, so too we could be mafkir the chametz. And that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger also has based on a raya from the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Amal of the 19th Perek, that Rabbi Elezer Shita is not only is Mila Docha Shabbos, but the Makshuri Mila. However, the Gemara points out, even though Rabbi Elezer agrees Makshuri Mila on Shabbos, he doesn't permit Makshuri Sitzis or Makshuri Mezuzah on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, because Ho B'yado L'Hafkirim, because it's in his power to declare them Hefker. Thereby he can exempt himself from those mitzvahs. So therefore we see from the Gemara's suggestion that declaring objects Hefker even on Shabbos seems to be okay. And even if you assume that generally Hefker is a problem, nevertheless we could rely on the Meiri, the Mordechai, that says, but Makkah Mitzvah will suspend the Isuri Drabanan, because it's a, by Gemara in Beit, the Gemara in Beya on Yud Zayin Amabez, that it says one who has forgotten to make an Eruv of Tavshilin, and therefore you can't cook for Shabbos on Yontif, that you should transfer your ownership, make a kinyan, transfer his flour to someone else who has prepared an Eruv so the person can cook on his behalf. So from here, the Mordechai proves that even though there's a general, there's an Issur Drabanan against Kinyanim on Shabbos and Yontif, you're permitted to perform transactions on Shabbos and Yontif L'shei Mitzvah. So if the Mordechai permits a full-fledged Kinyan on Shabbos for the sake of a Mitzvah, Kal V'chomer to permit the declaration of Hefker, which according to many doesn't even resemble a Kinyan in the first place. And therefore, based on this, the Ramban dismisses the Bawitosis and sides with Rashi. So you have a whole major machokas, mitam hefker, mitam betuan. The Ramban explains Rashi, that Rashi, bishulam letosis mitam hefker, that's the way it normally works. Why does bitu work here? So the Ramban explains, because Rashi is trying to avoid the special issue of ownership of chametz on Pesach. Generally speaking, something which is issur bahana, like chametz, is incapable of being owned by a Jew. And such, so some, one might have thought that since chametz is usur bahana, so by definition, once the issur chametz kicks in, automatically would become ownerless. And therefore, that would come out that you can never own chametz on Pesach. Obviously, we know the Torah gives us an Isser Chametz, so it must be possible. Hence, Rabbi Yishmael tells us in Psachim 6b, Vav Amid Beish, Shnei Dvarim Einam B'Rishushos Aladam, we Asun HaKasa, really two things that don't belong to an individual, but we, two things are not technically in a person's domain, but the Torah considers as if they are in the person's domain. A bor, B'Rishushos Aradam, a pit in a public domain, V'chametz mishei shos v'mala, and chametz from 6 hours and onwards. So even though chametz on Pesach is, technically speaking, is not considered yours because you can't own it, nevertheless, the Torah makes a special exception acknowledging legal ownership of the chametz, despite its prohibited status. And that's why, because of this novel form of ownership, that's what Bitul Chametz does. By doing the Bitul, he's saying, Eino Rotze Bekiyumu. He does not wish for the Chametz to exist. This negates the value and existence of the Chametz in the owner's mind, and therefore prevents this novel ownership of Rabbi Yishmael from taking effect. Therefore, while Tosis says Bitul is nothing more than a general Hefker declaration, the Ramban says it's a unique means of denying the value to chametz, and therefore prevents the Torah's recognition of ownership. And therefore, even though bitul doesn't usually work, they call it Torah kulo here, since it's ke'ilu ason, it's a special din of owning chametz on Pesach, even though technically you can't. Yes, so that's why bitul works. That's the major machlokes here between the Ramban and the Bali Tosfos and Rashi in terms of Does when you do bittul, do you fulfill tashbisu? That is the same? Or no? It's you're avoiding tashbisu by saying hefker, you no longer own it, and therefore you don't have to do tashbisu.